I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, and welcome once again, everyone, to History Dweebs. I am Tim, and welcome to our podcast. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. The topic of our podcast today is on none other than the gangster Pretty Boy Floyd. And we're going to get in to talk about Charles Arthur Pretty Boy Floyd in just a minute. But before we do, I'd like to introduce our panel. As always, we have the very good and kind-hearted.
Who the hell are you talking about?
Nobody here.
Nobody here. Ain't nobody in this room we talking about.
The very angelic, I guess would be a good word.
Oh, yeah. It's me.
Brandy, how are you there, Brandy, today?
Oh, I'm great, Tim. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well. Have you had a good week, Brandy?
Well, you know, Tim, it's been a little long. The week's been dragging just a little bit, but, you know, it's almost here. It's almost the weekend, so.
Yeah, we're excited because, you were off there a couple of weeks and didn't do a podcast with us, so we're glad that you're back.
Well, I was busy, you know, working.
Yeah.
And making money.
Yeah. you mean this podcast, you're not set for life?
Surprisingly, no.
See, I would have never thought that.
Haven't you been while she was gone did show some interesting
we saw a spike in our in our listenership. So have you not been forwarding our the money we're getting from our sponsors? Have you not been forwarding Brandy her share?
I've been forwarding what she earns.
Yeah, so there, that answers that question.
So she gets nothing.
Yeah, unfortunately, none of us earn anything doing this, but maybe one day.
For the love.
We do it for the art.
Yeah.
And also with me today, of course, is the very distinguished, honorable, and debonair, and surprisingly very flexible, Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Charles?
Chaz. Well, thank
the
you.
Chaz. Yes, the Chaz.
Thank you for that introduction, Timmy. Those kind of words. I'm doing fine. Yesterday was National Dog Day. Got to give a shout out to the Rude Dog.
To Rudy.
Rudy, happy National Dog Day. He trusty, loyal, fierce.
Does he listen to our podcast?
He does all the time. He does all the time.
Wow.
He only left us 2 stars a couple times on different podcasts.
2 paws?
Yeah, 2 paws.
Well, and how's the lovely Renee?
You know, she getting meaner and meaner to me.
I wonder why.
Meaner and meaner.
Well,
we will, by our next podcast, we will have come up on, what is the day today?
Today is August 27th, and this should be released probably today.
The year of our Lord.
I am two days away from being married to that lovely woman for 28 years.
Oh, well, happy anniversary there, Colonel. I hope you're doing something nice for her.
But I can't say that what I'm going to do on the radio. It's a family show here.
You're so gross.
But anyway, I was thinking one time that...
Just one time?
Well, I was thinking...
Reached your limit?
I was watching...
Give him a break, he was thinking.
60 Minutes, and it was a victims' rights group.
Yeah.
And it was talking about the average murderer Only spent 11 years in prison, Tim.
Okay.
I've been married for 28 years. I got a worse sentence than the average murderer.
So poor Renee has been in purgatory for 28 years.
Yeah, man, that's a long haul.
Poor Renee.
We around the house, we call her Mrs. Colonel.
No, you don't.
She's just known as Mrs. Colonel.
Okay. So we have any sponsors this week? Any shout-outs?
We do have a sponsor this week, actually.
Okay.
Now, we try to stay out of political stuff. You know that.
Yes, that's true.
This was a group, because I know him, because I walk down to the Finley Market all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's local merchants against, you know, Ohio is going to possibly have marijuana legalization on the ballot.
You bet.
Well, there's a group around here, local merchants against marijuana legalization. It's the Local Brotherhood of Distributors 196. And the guy I see, Spider, he's the treasurer.
Spider? You mean they ousted Ray Ray?
They're very much against the legalization of marijuana.
They are.
They said it's going to cost them jobs, cost them, you know. It's
well, their jobs will go to Mexico.
It's going to hurt the local economy. Spider don't know what he's going to do if he gets out of distribution.
I hate to hear that. I was downtown today, and this guy was complaining about the cost of weed.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying that...
It's a legitimate concern.
He was saying that I don't know myself, of course, because I wouldn't partake in that sort of thing. But he was saying it. I don't know. You know, when I was in high school, you'd get... A nickel bag, right? It would be $5 or a dime bag.
A nickel bag could last you all night.
Yeah, I mean, it was in a little baggy thing. I guess now it's like $20 a joint.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And he was complaining because he couldn't even say it took him six. He had to smoke three joints to get ISIS. It cost him $60. So, and he was complaining about legalization that it was going to cost him any more. But you know, the price of freedom. What can I say?
Nothing.
Speaking of, can we move on now? You okay?
And we should give a shout out to Tanner because he's starting to listen to the podcast.
All right, Tanner. Thank you, Tanner, for listening to the podcast. Tanner, of course, starting his final year.
Year at Loyola.
At Loyola. It's cool.
Yeah, his twin brother is just sitting around in a drunken stupor, but I don't know if he listens to the podcast or not.
Okay, well... Shout out to both Taylor and Tanner, and to Logan, who is starting his senior year in high school.
Starting his senior year in high school. He's so far so good. He ain't got suspended or nothing. So.
It's the little things, isn't it?
It's the little joys that you look forward to.
The little joys that measure success.
Okay, well, let's talk about Charles author Pretty Boy Floyd. Pretty Boy Floyd, of course, was a gangster back in the roaring 20s and 30s. Was gangsta when gangsta was... Wasn't cool. He was born on February 3rd, 1904. He passed away, where he was murdered, killed on October 22nd, 1934. So he was 30 years old when he died. As I said, he was an American bank robber. He operated in the Midwest and Southwest Central states.
South Central.
And he got a lot of press coverage back in the 1930s. This is the year, you know, this is the era of where there were a lot of the Depression. It was the era of the gangsters and the G-men and all that stuff was going on. So like most other prominent outlaws at that time, he was killed by policemen. Actually, you know, almost all of the bank robbers of that time were killed by cops. The only one who wasn't, you know who that is? Any guess?
Bank robber? Ma Barker?
No, she was. Yeah,
she was killed by the police?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They killed a woman?
Yeah, in the Barker gang. The only one that wasn't killed was Machine Gun Kelly.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
he got killed later on.
Well, eventually, I'm sure he died at some point, but he didn't
He got killed by other gangsters.
Okay, I don't think he was killed by cops, so we'll have to look it up. But anyway, Pretty Boy was killed by the police officers. And there's the colonel will get into this in a bit when we talk about the events leading up to his death. But historians have speculated as to which of the officers involved at the event actually took him down because it was both local police and FBI agents. But the kill was credited. Is credited a right word for kill? I don't know.
Well, I don't believe Keel is. Keel is on a steamship.
Robert Pete Pyle or George Curran. So there's some controversy on who actually shot Pretty Boy.
It's been a discussion at my dinner table for years.
Yes. And you know, it can lead to some hard feelings if you want.
Yes, it did.
Because people are very, very,
passionate
about one side or the other. But Floyd was a very familiar figure in American pop culture back in the 20s and 30s. By some, he was seen as notorious, and by others, he was viewed as a tragic figure. Partly a victim of hard times of the Depression in the United States. And what contributed to that is a lot of times when he would go in and rob banks, he would also have the banks tear up mortgages that people had. Because back in those days, of course, everything was – all the records were kept on paper. And so he would go in and tear up mortgages for folks. And so he became kind of this Robin Hood type of character, much like, happened with some folks with Bonnie.
Much like Robin Hood.
Bonnie and Clyde.
Much like Robin Hood.
Yeah, much like Robin Hood.
The Colonel.
But anyway, he was born in Bartlow County, Georgia, 1904. That was 4 years after the turn of the century. So almost 100 years
wow.
ago. Almost 101 years ago. I know, 111 years ago. His family moved to Oklahoma in 1911, probably just in time for the Dust Bowl. That's where he grew up. Yeah. As a Ute, he spent considerable time in nearby Kansas, Arkansas, and Missouri. And that's where he gets into some of his shenanigans. And the Colonel, I think, is going to tell us about that.
About shenanigans, that's your part. No.
No, I do not have shenanigans. I have his
five right.
shenanigans.
Okay, Brandy has shenanigans. Tell us about his.
Are you not the producer of this show?
I'm going to bring in a consultant because we really need some organization around here.
Oh, shenanigans. Okay, so.
I just want to say I dedicate 75 hours a week to this podcast.
Thanks.
And I would just appreciate it if everyone would come in a little better organized in what we are. That's all. That's what I'm saying.
Better organized.
Well, then I think the show loses its appeal.
I'm taking some offense because the Colonel has, and we've had comments left. Well, you haven't, but on the Colonel's page, people leave comments.
Yeah, where is that Colonel page? That thing hasn't been updated since June. That's
since
part
mom.
Of the problem.
And I actually just got to ask the Colonel a question. I'm going to have to do that one soon, but I've been busy.
Can I get back on the record or get back on topic here?
Yes.
State?
It'd be the first time.
Pretty Boy Floyd is not pretty.
Okay. Well, you know, it's kind of like calling a short man, a slim man or a fat man slim or
he's
something.
Homely.
Well, but you know, you got to look at the era. Maybe they wasn't, it's all relative.
Well, Babyface Nelson, he didn't really have a baby's face.
But Pretty Boy did not like the nickname Pretty Boy Floyd. But
no.
You're going to tell us all that. So please, go right into
the
topic.
So he was first arrested at age 18 after he stole $3.50 in coins from a local post office.
That's a federal offense.
I bet you Colonel's got that much in his wallet right now.
It was probably for the Coke machine.
Yeah.
Oh, well, maybe he needed change. Or maybe he was going to do laundry.
Yeah, you don't know. 3 years later, he was arrested for a payroll robbery. On September 16th, 1925 in St. Louis, Missouri, and he was sentenced to 5 years in prison. He served 3.5 years of that sentence before he got parole. When he was paroled, he vowed he would never see the inside of a prison again.
When did he get called Pretty Boy?
I don't know. I'm getting there.
I believe it was in prison.
I'm getting there. That was Pretty Mouth.
Come here. You got the Pretty
Boy.
You
don't want that nickname
in prison.
Not in prison.
That was Pretty Mouth.
How old was he when he got sent to prison?
That's 3 years. 21.
You know, you see a big dude when you walk in, and he says, boy, you're pretty.
You're pretty.
Yeah. Let's see. He would never see the inside of another prison.
He vowed never to be taken alive.
He vowed it.
Yeah.
So you know it's true.
Yeah, well.
It's not going to happen. So entering into partnerships with more established criminals in the Kansas City underworld, which is smart, by the way.
Well, you got to organize.
Well, you really do.
Yeah.
I wonder if they had a union. He committed a series of bank robberies over the next several years, And it was during this period that he acquired the nickname Pretty Boy. According to one account, when the payroll master targeted in a robbery described the three perpetrators to the police, he referred to Floyd as a mere boy, a pretty boy with apple cheeks.
I think that witness was a little light and
loose on him. A little sweet on him.
I believe he was. He had a crush. He developed a crush on him.
Well, yeah. First of all, the payroll master, well, whatever. All right.
Like, I want a job that has at the end master. Like, even if it's podcast master.
You basically have a job now where the first word is first part of the word is master.
Yes.
Yeah. So, all right. So, like Babyface Nelson, he hated the nickname Pretty Boy. In 1929, Floyd was wanted on numerous cases. On March 9th, he was arrested in Kansas City on investigation, and again on May 6th, for vagrancy and suspicion of highway robbery.
That's
but
highway
he was
robbery.
Released the next day. Did he charge too much? Is that what happened?
You know,
that's highway robbery.
Yeah, that used to be a capital offense. Highway robbery used to be a capital offense.
Did they have highways back then?
Yeah. Well, I think it was just like if you're out on an open road that you rob someone, they called them
road pirates.
Yeah, they would hang you.
Road pirates.
They were dandy dancers too.
You know, we neglected to mention send out our best wishes to young Brittany, who is finishing up her last week, hopefully in rehab.
Jesus Christ, how long is she going to be on vacation?
We tried to make her go to rehab, and she said no, no, no.
She said no, 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 but they finally got to go on to rehab.
Good.
And I think
I hope she's successful. Kick that crap
I hope
out
she's
it.
At, what's the name of that place?
Betty Ford?
No, the new place where, you know, they always show the commercial.
Oh, I don't know. It's like Reflection. It's not
yeah. Right. She got a shoe problem.
She does have a shoe problem, but that's not why she's in rehab.
Okay, back to Pretty Boy.
So he was arrested for vagrancy and suspicion of highway robbery, but was released the next day. 2 days later, he was arrested. He got around. 2 days later, he was arrested in Pueblo, Colorado.
Much like the Brown Gun Double Gizmo.
My God, why can't you stay on trouble for 2 days? Is that asking a lot?
He was arrested in Pueblo, Colorado, and charged with vagrancy. What? Anyway, he was fined $50 and sentenced to 60 days in jail.
You would think of all people, they would want him to be a vagrant. Just stay here, don't do anything.
Where are you going to get the $50 if you're a vagrant?
Well, so Floyd, under the alias Frank Mitchell, was then arrested in Akron, Ohio on March 8th of 1930. He was charged with
Passages from Malibu. That's the name of that.
Oh,
rehab
I want to go there. They give massages.
Well, just to get you a crack habit, and then you'll be able to do that.
Well, okay. Can I just have a drinking habit?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
I think you already got that, don't you?
Don't judge me. Anyway.
All right. So he's in Akron.
Arrested under his alias Frank Mitchell in Akron on March 8th, 1930, and charged in the investigation of the murder of an Akron police officer who'd been killed during a robbery that evening. The law next caught up with Floyd in Toledo, where he was arrested on suspicion of something, doesn't say, on May 20th, 1930.
You know, it's okay if he's out in Missouri causing trouble, but when he comes in my backyard, we got problems.
Coming to Ohio, we got problems.
Go ahead.
Okay.
The Buckeyes don't take that.
Well, he was convicted of the Sylvania, Ohio bank robbery and sentenced on November 24th, 1930 to 12 to 15 years in the Ohio State Penitentiary.
Oh, man. You don't want to go.
But he escaped.
That was an old workhouse.
He made a vow.
He did have a vow.
He made a vow. And
isn't one of our haunted places? The old Ohio State Penitentiary?
Yeah,
Ohio State Penitentiary, yeah.
Yeah, so. You can take a tour through it.
Yeah.
I think you can spend the night there.
Some of us already have.
Pretty Boy did.
Yes. A
couple rough nights.
He escaped. Floyd was a suspect in the deaths of Kansas City brothers Wally and Bull Ash. Those stupid names. Who were bootleggers.
Have some respect for the dead.
Yeah, Wally.
Those are stupid.
Bull.
B-O-L-L. Bull.
Bull.
I think that might be a typo.
It could have been Bo Wally, like Bo Weevil, Bo Wally.
It wasn't. They were two separate people. They weren't even conjoined.
They were brothers.
They were brothers. They were found dead in a burning car on March 25th, 1931. A month later, on April 23rd, members of his gang, so now evidently Pretty Boy has his own gang. He's moving right up. Killed patrolman R.H. Kastner of Bowling Green, Ohio.
Okay, so now this is a second cop in Ohio he's killed.
Well, here we go. On July 22nd, Floyd killed agent Curtis C. Burke of the Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms.
Oh, ATF.
And explosives in Kansas City, Missouri. He's all over the
place. Yeah, you know that it's not going to end well. When you start killing cops, it's not going to end well.
In 1932, former Sheriff Irv Kelly of McIntosh County, Oklahoma, was killed while trying to arrest Floyd.
You know, they would say, like, when Dillinger would come, like, through small towns, the cops would, like, resign.
Yeah.
I'm going to go work on a farm.
Well,
you draw unemployment for a while.
He was a former sheriff, so I don't know what he's doing, being all renegade.
Who was a former sheriff?
Former Sheriff Irv Kelly of McIntosh County.
He was trying to be a hero.
In November of that year, three members of Floyd's gang attempted to rob the Farmers and Merchants Bank in Boley, Oklahoma. Despite his life of crime, Floyd was viewed positively by the general public. When he robbed banks, he would destroy mortgage documents, which freed many citizens of their debts. He was protected by the citizens of Oklahoma, who referred to him as Robin Hood of the Cookson Hills.
We say, hell, he could tear up my student loan.
Yeah, I got a couple documents I'd like to see.
He was like the Wall Street people who was shredding mortgages and stuff.
Well, yeah, you know, but
for Goldman Sachs.
Well, during that time, during the Depression, they were repossessing homes and stuff. So I guess people look favorably on it. Although you think that killing the cops would kind of give you a hurt your.
That's six of one, half dozen.
Back then, cops might have been crooked.
Well, and they enforced the
they sold the damn farms.
Yeah, they enforced the
the repos.
Yeah, repossession of the farms.
So Floyd and Adam Ricchetti became the primary.
Bet he was Italian.
Might have been. Became the primary suspects in the June 17, 1933 gunfight known as the Kansas City Massacre that resulted in the deaths of four law enforcement officers.
Yeah, and this was a big deal. I mean, you know the Night Chicago Died, that song?
Yes.
They talk about a dozen cops.
My mama cried in there.
Yeah, that song's bullshit. That never happened. But some people say that this song might have been based on this Kansas City Massacre where four cops were killed. I just made that up. But I thought it was an anecdote that I've just thrown out there that someone might pick up and spread, and it may go viral.
I think you've done enough to have things
go viral. Really?
Yeah.
Let's move along, please.
So J. Edgar Hoover used the incident as ammunition to further empower the FBI to pursue Floyd. Historians are divided as to whether or not he was actually involved.
Now, see, I could see J. Edgar Hoover calling him Pretty Boy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Walking around with his high heels and his stocking.
Whatever, like, you don't like to feel pretty every once in a while.
I'm feeling pretty right now, as a matter of fact.
Well, that's...
I got my magic underwear on.
Okay. So another more likely suspect was gang member Sol Weissman, who could or could not have been Jewish, maybe.
If he's a Weissman, he a Jew.
Wait a minute now. Let's just don't be making disparaging remarks about
people.
There
was no disparaging remark. I'm saying that his name is
Well,
Sol
you're
Weissman.
I'm just saying you're stereotyping people based upon his name.
I don't think it's a stereotype. I think that's a Jewish name.
He probably Italian.
Did you not just say that?
I don't recall.
He probably Polish or something.
I don't recall.
Sol Weissman.
I was a Jew.
Evidently, Sol Weissman was pretty, too. He resembled Floyd.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Floyd adamantly denied his involvement in this whole huge fiasco. Apparently, it was a botched attempt to free bank robber Frank Nash, who was in police custody. So they were trying to get this guy out.
That was a day when you could go in and blow up a police station and break people out.
Oh, yeah.
Can't do that anymore.
So hold on. He's shooting police officers all over the country.
But not this
but
time.
But he does not want his good name sullied by being associated with this.
Not Frank Nash. Frank Nash was...
Well, I think at this time, the massacre was a big deal. I mean, that was a big headline. So I think he probably didn't want to be involved with that.
Wasn't as big as a Valentine's Day massacre.
Okay. Hey.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
The gunfight was an attack by Vernon Miller and accomplices on lawmen escorting robber Frank Jelly Nash. I bet he hated that nickname, too.
Jelly?
Yeah. To a car parked at the Union Station in Kansas City, Missouri. Two Kansas City police officers, Detective William Groom and Patrolman Grant Schroeder. Oh, that's nice. They're, like, sighted in here. McAlester, Oklahoma Police Chief Otto Reed and FBI Special Agent Ray Caffrey were killed. Nash was also killed as he was sitting in the car, so somebody really screwed that up.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
I think that kind of turned
The thought that counts.
Once that happened, it kind of turned public opinion against Pretty Boy.
Two other Kansas City police officers survived by slumping forward in the back seat and feigning death. As the gunman inspected the car, another officer responded from the station and fired at them, forcing them to flee. That's another problem. These guys weren't necessarily doing anything to them. They were going after these cops.
Yeah, it was an ambush.
So that's a problem.
Yeah.
Let's see. Miller was found dead on November 27th, 1933, outside of Detroit, Michigan, beaten and strangled. So the guy who started the whole thing was murdered.
In Detroit, it's such a peaceful city.
Right.
Yeah.
Floyd and Ricchetti were alleged to have been Miller's accomplices in all of this.
God bless you, Colonel. God bless you.
I got the hate demon fever.
Yeah. Factors that weighed against...
The gout.
Okay. Factors that weighed against them at the time included their apparent presence in Kansas City at the time.
That would weigh against
them. Yeah.
That was there.
Yeah.
There were eyewitness identifications, but those have been contested. Ricchetti, who's always evidently been a problem.
His name rhymes with machete.
It does, but he left a fingerprint.
His name, what's his first name?
I don't know.
It should be whatever, machete, Shetty.
I bet he was Italian.
Machete, Ricchetti. So he left a fingerprint that allegedly had been recovered from a beer bottle in Miller's hideout.
I wonder how reliable fingerprints were at the time.
They're not that technical.
An underworld account named Floyd and Ricchetti as gunmen.
What's an underworld account? What does that mean?
It means Tony Soprano went to him and said, hey.
Look at it. Yeah. Whitey Bulger told him.
That's right. I'm not one to gossip, so you didn't hear it from me. What
happens to the snitches?
They get britches.
Snitches get britches.
And Hoover was just damn convinced that it was them.
Yeah, I think Hoover probably, whatever, Hoover was an ass.
And then this random guy.
Not condoning it. I'm just saying Hoover was an ass.
Well, and then this guy, this bank robber named Alvin Karpus. They were just acquaintances, I guess, him and Floyd. He claimed that Pretty Boy Floyd confessed to him.
Oh, he was the one from the end of the world. Oh, yeah.
I don't know, but
yeah, well, I'd be looking at his background.
If they're acquaintances, how's he doing? Hey, dude, guess what I did? I killed like six boys.
Yeah, well, you know they always got to one-up each other.
What are they
sitting around drinking, playing cards? And
they're not friends.
Let me tell you about the time I shot the policeman in Toledo. Oh, that's nothing. You know what I did? Like at a barbershop.
Yeah, you should never share that stuff with acquaintances.
No. On the other side of the issue, the bandit alleged to have been Floyd was supposed to have been wounded by a gunshot wound in the attack. Gunshot wound in the shoulder. Floyd did not have this injury. The underworld account identifying Floyd and Ricchetti as killers was offset by equally unreliable underworld accounts proclaiming their innocence or identifying others. That's how the underworld does.
Yeah, it's inconsistent. So someone narked on him. Someone else says he didn't do it.
Yeah, so you can't trust a gangster.
You cannot. So, but he gets blamed for it.
And his family maintained that while he owned up to all these other crimes, he just vehemently denied until the end of his life that he was involved with this, and so did Ricchetti.
And he probably, I believe him, I think he probably wasn't involved, but what does it matter? He already killed like four or five cops anyway.
Well, it's been contended that this crime would have been inconsistent with Pretty Boy's other criminal acts, because he was not really known as a hired gun or a hired killer.
Yeah. So it did not fit his modus operandi.
Did not.
If I were a profiler, I would not pick out Pretty Boy.
I think probably what happened is that some organized crime figures whacked these cops, and they pointed
out. They were tired of Pretty Boy and his shenanigans.
And they solved two problems.
Also, we could have had the Jelly Man. He might have had evidence on people, and maybe they wanted him dead, too.
And J. Edgar Hoover, he was notorious for turning turning the other way when it comes to organized crime. So it was just easy to blame it on Pretty Boy and
these
go
bandits,
after. But, you
bandits.
Know, like I said, what the hell? Pretty Boy is already, he's already killed four or five people, so he wasn't a saint himself.
They were bandits. They weren't really in the organized crime.
Right. Are we ready to move on to the Colonel now?
Sure.
Colonel, tell us about the demise of Pretty Boy Floyd.
Well, now, Pretty Boy Floyd had a problem. He had a little PR problem here. Because when John Dillinger got killed back in July of 1934,
yeah,
Floyd was named Public Enemy Number One.
Yeah, because Dillinger was Public Enemy Number
okay.
One, right?
You know what? I had a little typo in my notes there. It's Public, not Public Enemy.
Yeah.
There
public
you go.
Enemy Number One.
Yeah. So, but that title was originally with Dillinger.
With Dillinger.
And then they shot him outside the theater there in Chicago.
Yeah, like, and Pretty Boy Floyd became Public Enemy Number One.
See, he moved up. See, you want to, let's see, you want to be Public Enemy Number Two. You know what
that's
I mean?
That's just the first
loser.
You want
to be like eight. So you got some time. Because they always killed his number one. On October 22nd, 1934.
Who's Public Enemy Number One now? Does anyone know? I'm going to look that up. Go ahead.
October 22nd, 1934. Floyd got shot in a cornfield behind a house in Spruceville Road between Beaver Creek State Park and East Liverville, Ohio.
I know where Beaver Creek is.
I know where Beaver Creek is, too.
He was being pursued by local law officers and Melvin Purvis.
Who, of course...
Melvin Purvis.
Yes, who is he?
Melvin Purvis was the lead... He killed Dillinger.
Mm-hmm. He was an FBI agent.
He was the one who... supposedly killed Dillinger, supposedly killed Pretty Boy, but most people, by most accounts, and if you look at the autopsy, Melvin Purvis was lying.
Yeah, but and he also got in, he started getting a lot of publicity after the Dillinger killing, and that pissed off, J. Edgar Hoover.
Now, there's three different accounts of what happened here, though. Some say that Purvis killed him. Some say that the local lawman killed him. Some say he was killed by others. The only thing we know is that Pretty Boy, he driving down the road with Ricchetti. Okay? They're driving down the road. They got, of course, they got the ladies with them. And it's a heavy fog. And back then, they didn't have front-wheel drive. You know. They had headlights on the car. What the hell? It wasn't a Flintstone mobile.
Did they pick him up and then run? You know, my whole thing with that Flintstone car.
It's easier to run.
Exactly.
But then you have to wait.
Once you get momentum.
No, because here's the problem. You always got that straggler in your family that you have to end up waiting on. But if you're in the car, then you're all together.
Well, that's true.
See?
But you can only go as fast as the slowest person.
No, because not everybody was pushing.
Only Fred was pushing.
That's true.
I like how they bowled. We're on their tiptoes.
Just to add other
famous people who were public enemy number one besides John Dillinger and Pretty Boy Floyd. Al Capone.
Yes.
Babyface Nelson.
But he hated Babyface.
And in 2002, Joaquin Guzman Larrea. I don't know who he is, but
I thought it was
Osama bin Laden was.
I thought he was. I thought about Osama bin Laden was too, but
at one point he was.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead. But yeah, this Joaquin guy's dead too. I don't know who he was. He was El Chapo. El Chapo.
Oh, so he still is then, didn't he?
Yeah, he got out, didn't he?
Yeah, he escaped. Yeah.
Should I be talking about Pretty Boy?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, so
really,
well, he probably was taken off as number one, and now he's probably back on number one.
Yeah. He wanted that spot back.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Now he's public enemy number one. He's driving down the road with Machete and a couple ladies, and it's foggy out. And
El Chapo was born on Christmas Day. Instead of Joaquin, shouldn't his first name be Jesus?
Okay, Pretty Boy Floyd got killed on October 22nd, 1934. He got shot. He got killed. Thank you.
No, girl, please expand on. I'm sorry. We'll do a podcast on El Chapo another time. So what led up to the death of Pretty Boy Floyd?
What the hell you think led up to his death? He was shooting policemen all across the goddamn country. That's what
led up to his death. He kept interrupting the guy beside him.
He kept interrupting some bitch. Ricchetti killed his ass because he kept trying to talk. And then Ricchetti was like, "And did you know this? And did you know that?" And finally, he was like, "Ah!" Ricchetti pulled out a gun and shot him in the side of the head. That's what happened.
Colonel, you seem a little on edge.
Interrupt me one more time, goddammit. One more time.
Please. There's no reason.
Okay, Colonel, you seem a little on edge. Just please recap for us the events leading up to the death of Pretty Boy Floyd. You have our complete attention.
Okay. He's driving down the road. Okay. Somehow they end up in Buffalo, New York. Now, they're driving down the road, get all the way to Ohio. Okay.
Really? They're coming back to Ohio?
Yeah. For whatever reason, I don't know. But
there's a $3.8 million bounty on El Chapo's head. Just saying. If any of y'all, anyone of our listeners have information leading to, can lead to the arrest of El Chapo, contact your local FBI. Go ahead, girl.
I'm going to find some shit out because I want that reward. Totally worth being having to run for the rest of my life.
I forget where I was at.
You were talking
this
about.
This is the most unprofessional show I have ever been involved with in my entire life.
I'm sorry, Colonel. Go ahead.
Okay, so him and Machete driving down the road.
I don't think he's sorry at all.
Okay, Ricchetti driving. They got a couple ladies with him. But Ricchetti, and kids, you need to listen to this shit because this is what happened to Pretty Boy Floyd. This is what Diddy meant. Ricchetti texting and driving at the same time in a heavy fog. And his vehicle hits a telephone pole. So they checked out the Verizon record later. And turned out he was texting and driving. Hits a telephone pole. Now, they don't want to be recognized, so they send the ladies into town to get a tow truck. Now, the women go into town to get a tow truck.
The lady, women folk.
The women folk. Well, yeah, if somebody going to do all the walking, hell, it should be the women. They smaller most of the time. But anyway.
Yeah, he is number one.
Now, on October 19th here, this happened on October 18th. October 19th, Joe Fryman and his son-in-law driving down the road, they see two men dressed in suits lying by the side of the road.
So were they just hanging out there?
That ain't something you see every day. I guess, it took the women a long-ass time. You can't send a woman out to get it.
Well, they want to get their nails done. I mean,
they got in there. They went to the beauty parlor. They went to the shoe store. They went to the lady product place.
Amin al-Zawahiri is the new leader of al-Qaeda, and he is the number two guy on the 10 most wanted list. So, if you know of the whereabouts of Mr. al-Zawahiri, please contact your local authorities.
Okay, so then Joe Fryman called the police. Police came out and shot him. He was dead.
So who did he shoot? No.
They captured Rashetti, shot Pretty Boy, the colonel done.
But there was some controversy, so talk
there
about
it. There ain't no controversy.
Yeah,
he was shot dead.
The Chaz.
The Chaz is done.
Okay, come on, go ahead, Colonel. I'm sorry. Finish up. Wrap this up.
Take it forever.
Let's put a bow on it.
The controversy is who killed him.
Right.
Like did the FBI killed him?
No.
Did the local police kill
him? Is that broad? What was her name? It was a woman.
Sue Ellen.
Yeah.
That's
Sue
the
Ellen.
Only one I know.
Ain't no women in here. They're still getting a tow truck. Now, they both run into the woods. Rashetti gets captured. Now, they get this former police officer. He running after him. His name Chester K. Smith.
Chester the molester?
He was a sniper in World War I.
Didn't they shoot him in the back?
Well,
that's cowardly.
Here's really what happened.
They did in a movie.
Were you there?
My grandpappy was.
Was he?
The Colonel Grandpappy, yeah. So, the police chief running after him, but Floyd's shooting back. He shoots the police chief in the foot, which means he can't drive a Flintstone mobile no more.
Right.
Son of a bitch.
Anyway, he runs and hides behind a corn crib. The FBI opens fire. Floyd reportedly said, "I'm done for. You hit me twice."
Bastards.
Now, what? Chester
is twice
Smith
the magic number?
Says that he's the one that hit him twice with his .32 Winchester rifle. And he said, "I knew Purvis couldn't hit him, so I dropped him with two shots." Now, Smith's account says that Chester Smith said he didn't kill him, he wounded him and put him down.
He just winged it.
And then he said Floyd did not regain his footing. And he disarmed Floyd. Now, at this point, Purvis runs up and says, "Back away from this man. I want to talk to him."
Oh, yeah, I bet he said that.
Purvis questioned Floyd briefly, and after receiving just curses in reply, just some foul, foul language, Purvis ordered Ed Hollis, just turned and said, "Fire into him." Hollis then shot Floyd point-blank range with a submachine gun.
Yeah, they murdered
That's
him.
What you need was a submachine
yeah.
gun.
Now, however, his autopsy and things dispute the fact that he got shot by multiple rounds from a submachine gun. He only had four wounds when he got killed.
But there was that eyewitness that said they just mowed him down, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
was it an underworld witness?
And then there's other people said that... Either way, Purvis took credit for it. Last interesting fact, his funeral was attended by between 20 and 40,000 people. Remains the largest funeral in the history of Oklahoma.
Yeah, I mean, again...
Because he was a hero in Oklahoma.
Yeah. And, again, I think at Kansas City massacre was an attempt by law enforcement to kind of damage his reputation, because he did have that reputation of as a kind of Robin Hood-like character.
Well, but he could have done it.
Do you think J. Edgar Hoover was behind it?
J. Edgar Hoover was a master of public relations. And I think that's probably Purvis's probably took credit for something he didn't do there, because he probably learned that from his boss. J. Edgar Hoover was I'm not a big fan of J. Edgar Hoover.
And let me just add one last thing. You got me a little riled up there, Timmy. Dottie, I apologize for my language, but your son, he could make a preacher cuss. Okay? The colonel usually...
She knows that all too well.
But
I apologize if I've offended you. I know you're a dignified and graceful lady. So let me apologize for my language, Dottie.
Thank you, Colonel. And you want to apologize to me?
You kiss my ass.
Okay. All right. So, Brandy, any final thoughts on Pretty Boy Floyd?
Final thoughts? She didn't even have a first thought on him.
Charles Arthur Pretty Boy Floyd. What's your thoughts on him, Brandy?
I have no thoughts. He was a gangster.
He was pretty fucking gangster.
He was a gangster.
Charles?
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
What? How about you, Charles? What's your feeling on Pretty Boy Floyd?
East Coast.
Well,
or West Coast?
I believe that if he wouldn't have been texting and driving, he would have never got caught.
And my final thought on Pretty Boy Floyd is, like Brandy said, I don't think he's that pretty. And although it was admirable that he tore up the mortgages and things,
he was a gangster. Yeah,
he was still a murderer. And
now, you know, anybody were ever pretty, if you've seen Bugsy Siegel, now he was a pretty man. He was a good looking man there.
Okay.
Well, we're just talking about gangsters. They're not attractive people for the most part. Of course,
you're attracted to men.
I'm not attracted to men. I'm just saying gangsters, when you have the pretty boy and this and that.
Yeah, so really, you shouldn't be going around calling yourself pretty boy.
Most gangsters weren't pretty, except with the exception of Bugsy Siegel.
Really?
He was a handsome man.
I think you just like his nickname.
Well, that was my nickname when I was a kid. But before I was the colonel.
That doesn't sound anything like asswipe.
And most of the gangsters, of course, was Italian. Italian men are not really known to be that handsome anyway.
What?
Colonel, you're stereotyping again.
Now, look at the mafia. Vito Genovese, he was ugly as hell. So ugly, stop a clock.
I'm not saying anything. I don't want to have to look over my back.
He had a big scar on his face. Al Capone, big old bloated balloon head.
All right.
Well, all the men was ugly.
You anything to say about John Gotti?
Well, I will. No, he's short, little sawed-off runt Napoleon. I'll tell you who was a handsome gangster, though. Michael Corleone.
He was.
Michael Corleone was a good-looking gangster.
He was, and he was a good boy.
He was a good boy.
He was a good son.
I want my boys to grow up be just like Michael Corleone.
What about Paulie?
He was a good son.
Paulie had good hair.
Paulie Walnuts.
Paulie had great good hair. Yeah, good at.
You got the little silver on the side.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it for this episode. Where can people find us there, Colonel?
I don't even want to tell people where to find us. I hope this gets buried in Candy Camp forever.
We got
this is the worst podcast I've ever had a part
of.
Okay, Colonel, where can people find us
if they want to see some of the good, hear some of the good podcasts we do, look at historydweeb.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can get off our Facebook page, find us there at History Dweebs. Or, more importantly, you can go to iTunes, do a search for History Dweebs, see our whole back catalog, download them.
You can
for
celebrate
free.
Our entire collection.
You can subscribe to our channel and it'll come right to your iPhone, your iPad, your whatever, every time we release a podcast.
You can sell them on Amazon.
You can sell them on eBay. You can get a whole collection of the Colonel and the Colonel collection.
The Colonel.
Burn it on disk and sell it on eBay.
Okay, so join us next time on History Dweebs, the Colonel Collection.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.